羽ばたいたら戻らないと言って目指したのは青い青いあの空。
Hey everybody, and welcome to Thursday, November 22nd Junkcast, the only manga podcast that you can be thankful for. Joining me this week is Greg Jan and returning Mike Lemieux.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, I am not thankful for anything. I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm fairly thankful Bleach is ending. Eventually.
That's very nice of you to...
I bet you'll be thankful for the same thing next Thanksgiving.
Yeah. 4 years, he says, apparently.
Well, like I said, that was just some random person on a forum claiming that, so.
I mean, it's the kind of thing I would believe to an extent. Like, it doesn't make any sense from Jump's perspective, but I would think that Kubo would believe that.
My uncle works at Jump, and he says...
That's basically how we get these scans, isn't it?
Yeah, well...
Well, actually. More working in the factory, but yeah.
I'm surprised they've never been able to close that loop.
I remember the whole gate of pictures coming out of the person with the manga, and they had sparkly fingernails, so they were going to find the person that are...
Taking the cell phone pictures of, like, Marineford and stuff, during Marineford, and we got the spoilers from the people who were able to, you know, read the little bit and figure out what was going on. That was fun.
Good times.
The drama of Shonen Jump.
That was a community coming together.
Yeah.
A moment.
That was everybody going, oh god, why isn't it next week yet? Every week, and going nuts to try and find out spoilers.
It's funny seeing George go through that, like, in microcosm over the last couple weeks, as he's been going through One Piece.
But didn't he just, like, stop in the middle of Marineford? I don't know how you could do that.
No, he stopped right after Shanks and crew showed up, so it was obviously in the dwindling point. Like, the chapter after the, or the episode after the cliffhanger when they appear.
The denouement.
Yeah, so, and his reason for doing so was less than savory in terms of not being able to find good batch groups of episodes.
Wait, you mean the store selling legitimate DVDs did not have the episodes that he wanted?
I mean, Hulu, for whatever reason, was not streaming them very well, or... Yeah.
Does Hulu have, like, an archive of Funimation stuff?
Oh, yeah, no, they have... They have every episode of... One Piece since mid Shabadi, or however it's pronounced, Archipelago.
Shabadi, I don't know.
Shabadi, yeah. They have every episode. The number of ads has increased exponentially since back when I was watching it. It used to be like 2 per episode, and now it's up to like 10. But geez.
And it's always the same ad, right?
Yeah, usually. Yeah.
Maybe I'll go watch the actual Marineford animated, because that seems like something that would be good that way.
It has its high moments and its low moments. They did that was at the same time that they were making Strong World, so the animation's not always the best.
Mm.
And they were stretching it out to have a full episode of the anime is one chapter at that point. So not a there are some very, very nice moments, but I would say as a whole, the manga was better.
So speaking of animated things...
Yeah, I figured that's where you were going with that.
Quickly going... One Punch Man this past week.
Oh my...
Yeah.
Okay, we need to just talk about this manga as a whole. Like, the 18 chapters that are out. Because we're
okay.
Getting more for
One
a
Punch
while.
Man is incredible.
It's the best manga of the year.
Yeah, it's very fun.
Are we spoiling our manga of the year podcast already?
I think so. It's a late Dark Horse newcomer that's just blowing away the competition.
So, okay, we didn't talk about the actual... nuts and bolts of it last week.
Yeah.
So, One Punch Man itself is a webcomic drawn by One, and Shonen Jump, it's now being remade Like, yeah. Apparently it all exists somewhere. Is
I saw the website that like archived it. One's not a great artist.
Oh, I've heard that. So they hooked him up with the iShield 21 artist, which good job, Shizue.
Like, just to get ahead of this, Murata, the artist, he is doing some amazing things with this manga. Like, innovative things.
Well, I think they're using this, like, as a chance to, like, flex his muscles and try new techniques.
Yeah, because, I mean, this is the sort of thing where, during those animation sequence type things, that's not something you would really be able to do in the magazine, and it wouldn't work as well because it's not replacing the image on the screen as you're clicking through them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also being a webcomic, they're allowed more leeway on number of pages. So he can do 18 two-page spreads right in a row of one fight.
Yeah.
And no one's going to have to... No editor will bust him down for that.
Yeah.
But, like, the animation is one thing, but the stuff he does just in individual panels. Like, this chapter, for example, Gino's One Punch Man's sidekick. Or Saitama's sidekick, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, he blasts him with a laser, and as it's animating around, you can see, the panorama effect on the sound effect.
Yeah, which has shading. It has a shadow from the light of the beam.
Yes, yeah, I love that the sound effects are casting a shadow on the environment.
Yeah.
I mean, it's way better than you would expect from this kind of manga.
So wait, you said this chapter, so you must not have read the latest one.
Yeah.
That happened last 18? Chapter. Yeah, 18.
That happened in 17. 18, and then there's also an extra 18.1 thing which came out today.
That I did not read.
It's kind of like a bonus, even though it's longer than a regular chapter.
I don't remember last week. Did you guys break down what the plot is?
No. No. Not really. We just said it was good and people should read it.
Basically, a salaryman decides he wants to be strong. Time skip, he can kill everything in one punch.
And now he's bored because...
Yes.
It's interesting because there's no dramatic tension in the fights. Because you know he's going to win. And to a point that actually kind of... it tells us a lot about the manga we read now, because we know Naruto's not going to lose.
Yeah, this doesn't try to hide it. It's, you know, yeah. Okay, I know this fight's going to end with Saitama just, like, flicking the guy in the head and his entire body explodes. But, man, if getting there isn't, like, the best thing.
Yeah. The tension, quote-unquote, comes from the fact that, like, we want to see how funny it is leading up to it. And goddamn, is it ever funny.
Just love what kind of character Saitama is, that, like, he gets buried in the ground, it's like, okay, I'm done being buried in the ground, he just steps out of the hole. Like,
yeah.
Just very
yeah.
casually.
He's every shonen hero turned to 11.
Yeah.
It just...
And it was all thanks to that wonderful training regimen.
That was just strength training.
Yeah.
Yeah, not even very hard strength training at that.
I like that, like, the interplay with him and Gino, where Gino needs to understand what's going on, but he can't. Like, he just can't figure out what it is that makes Saitama so strong. But the fact that he can't figure it out, and the fact that it doesn't actually appear to be a reason, is what's hilarious about the concept of this manga. There's no, you know, oh, he's a secret alien, or he has this monster inside of him.
He's just a dude that did a lot of pull-ups, and now he's strong.
Yeah.
I love that even he's like, I don't know.
You think that you can't do that if you... I mean, you just need to do that exercise, and then you can be strong like me.
Yeah, just go run 10 miles every day, then you'll be able to do what I do.
Yeah. But I have to say, I think that Robin was right, that the best single panel of this series is the final panel of Chapter 16, which is after they, you know, took their examination to become... officially licensed superheroes, and then the one guy was mad that he broke all the records, and so then, you know, he goes through this entire challenging thing, and we don't even see the fight. We just see the panel after the fight, and it's all in color, and it's like this, you know, wonderful sunset going on just as he's walking away. It's
yeah, he punched him once.
You know, I'll be honest, I didn't actually see that page until Robin pointed it out. Because as I was reading them, I assumed that was, like, somebody's credits page, because it was all in color and, like, weird-looking, so I just skipped right by it.
And yet it works incredibly well, and it's another thing you can't do in Shonen Jump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, there's a lot more computer drawing effects being done in this.
Murata.
Murata, yes. I knew there was a... anyway. He's using a lot more, like, computer effects, like the glow on Gino and,
yeah,
like, motion blur. Like, it's very stuff you can't do.
Not
in
quite
French.
As much as Gantz yet, though. But yeah.
No, he's using it to like accent.
But yeah. Gantz looks ugly when it does it.
Yeah.
Gantz used it well at the start, but by the end it was just like, why is this even a manga if you're just gonna like CG this entire scene?
See, this uses it to enhance the fact that these drawings are already pretty great. Now, Murata does that extremely well, too, because Ice Shield had like really good, I wouldn't say character designs, but character art.
And the thing about this, doesn't feel like CG, it just feels like Photoshop effects applied to black and white drawings.
It feels like this is an anime that just happens to be on paper.
I mean, I have no doubt this was drawn on computer.
Yeah.
Just given, yeah.
But seriously, if you're not reading One Punch Man and you're looking for something like both lighthearted and entertaining, then you have to start reading this.
Something cathartic.
Yeah, it's 18 chapters, it'll go fast, and it's the best thing you're going to read this year.
Don't be scared off if you see like 24 pages, because a lot of that just going to be like two-page spreads of a laser
no
shooting.
Text. Yeah.
Yeah.
I still love that the first bad guy is like Piccolo for some reason. and
because
that girl's wearing a
why
shirt.
Why not?
The girl's wearing a shirt that says school child.
Yes.
Everything about this is wonderful.
It's so ridiculously self-aware.
Yeah, even from like how Saitama is drawn sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, I'm guessing that's probably, he's sometimes drawn to match more what One's original drawings look like. Because he gets really janky sometimes.
Yeah, but he looks fine
when not. When he's being, like, nonchalant.
Yeah.
When you see him with hair, he looks fine. But, like, but
even bald, he looks, you know.
Well, they change his actual face when he's bald. That's the funny thing.
Yeah.
Which I obviously intentional, but yeah. It's entirely great, and I recommend this wholeheartedly. Like, to the extent that I love Beelzebub, I feel this is hits the exact same notes and maybe even better.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, it feels like the steel Beel to me. Just.
Yeah. It is, if you want to mainline Beelzebub in 18 chapters, read One Punch Man.
Also, just warning to maybe squeamish people, it is pretty graphic.
Is it?
Yeah. When he smashes
there are gibs, you know, when he punches
eyes
people
out of their socket.
Oh, yeah, there's that.
There's a lion person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a human, so it's okay.
I mean, they're not humans, but I don't know. There might be sensitive people to that out there.
There's some weird stuff in there, like the bee lady who was like, inject my belly with all your warm liquid. Like, okay, that's not that subtle, but.
That was fine. What was wrong with that?
I guess it can be interpreted many different ways. But do we have anything more to say about One Punch Man in general?
No, not really. I mean, it's not like there's much to discuss on an individual chapter basis beyond the general concept, because it's, you know.
That's one thing if
he punches a guy.
One reason we can't cover this weekly is the bi-weekly manga. And the other reason is I don't know what we'd say every week besides, holy crap, did you see when he punched that guy?
He just exploded.
I mean, we could gush about it weekly, but I don't think it's gonna.
Yeah,
you know,
we'll just
be interesting conversation.
We'll let people know when it gets awesome, meaning
which is
when a new chapter is out.
Yeah. But yeah, if I ever put a Jump Cast recommendation, a seal of approval on anything, it would be this.
Yeah.
Jump Cast approved.
I know we got people to read Beelzebub because of how much we gush over it every week. If you read Beelzebub and you like it, read One Punch Man.
Yeah. Again,
that
it's
seems
short.
Like a reasonable assumption. If you enjoy it, you'll enjoy this.
If you enjoy good things, you'll enjoy this because it's a good thing.
All right, so another manga we don't cover but we wanted to talk about was Crossmanage, because you started reading that lately.
Yeah, I read all the chapters that are out. It's not bad.
I remember hearing that it wasn't, like, compared to the one shot, it wasn't very good.
Well, it's different. The motivations for the main character are a lot different. Like, imagine Ice Shield 21 if Momori was the main character,
mm-hmm.
and if it was mostly about her getting shit for working on a boys' team. It's kind of the opposite of that. Like, the main character seems to be a good person and honestly wants to help these girls, but, like, social status and standings make it hard for him to throw support behind them, so he's kind of trying to help from the shadows. And in the latest chapter, he gets exposed as being their manager.
That doesn't sound too bad. Like, the big thing about Crossmanage, at least the one shot, was that it was really cute.
Yeah, this, I don't know, I like the girls on the team. Like, none of them are very attractive. They're all just kind of like dorks that like lacrosse.
Mm-hmm.
So it, you know, it definitely does not have sex appeal going for it.
Which is probably why it's not doing very well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, honestly, like, all those girls are like fat and short kind of thing. There's like one okay girl who's clearly a lesbian, but I mean, lacrosse. So.
It's Shonen Jump, and we know the entire audience of Shonen Jump, like what they like and dislike, and sex appeal is one of those things that hits fast and hard.
Yeah, even the main character girl who had that freaky smile on the cover page.
Yeah. She's at best cute and adorable.
Yeah, she's more like a little sister style character.
Yeah. And not in the way that generally appeals to you.
Yeah. Not that kind of little sister character.
Oh, jeez. But anyway, yeah. The series was picked up by Shonen Jump Alpha, so it's going to get canceled. You know.
Yeah. Also, Hungry Joker's not terrible.
Yeah, I don't remember whether we talked about it on the thing or just amongst ourselves, but the one shot of that we didn't find particularly inspiring.
No.
And the actual series is totally different. Like, we've talked about how there's changes from the one shot to the regular series, and in the examples that we've done in the past with Barrage and whatnot, it seemed to be the detriment of the series. This one, I will say, did go more generic, but it actually seems to have direction to it now, and it feels like there is a better established goal, and it's cleaner all around. It seems much better. I don't know.
For some reason, I get a very big Soul Eater vibe off of it. Just
how's the art?
The art? It's
yeah.
Okay.
It's a lot cleaner than the one shot was, but it's during the action sequences, it can still be a little jumbled to tell what's going on.
So I think if it continues down the path it's going, it might be something we cover eventually, because I really kind of liked those first two chapters.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this one ends up getting ranked.
Yeah.
So nutshell the story for me real quick.
Doctor Evil Apples full of immortality.
So there is this apple, which I'm going to guess will eventually be revealed to be the apple of knowledge from, like, the Tree of Eden, or the Garden of Eden.
If you've seen the art, it's the one with, like, the weird smile on it. Like a scar smile.
But apparently there are chosen people who can... it can repair itself, and there are some chosen people who can either consume part of it or something like that. So, like, Newton supposedly discovered the law of universal gravitation by drinking the juice of this apple. And anyway, the scientist guy has amnesia. A couple years ago, he woke up in a room with this apple and a room of glowing corpses, and he's trying to figure out what's going on with that. And then basically some enemy causes one of the corpses to turn into a monster which attacks him. He takes a bite of the apple and then is basically able to control gravity and then uses it to kill the monster. And then it's actually going at a very brisk pace in terms of story... pushing, fighting, conflict between these two at this point.
Yeah, but it's turned into a battle manga pretty quickly.
It sounds like the kind of thing they would make in Bakuman, like an edgy manga.
Kinda, yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of feels like that too.
I'll probably start reading it after this then.
The main character still has the entire thing where it's like he's completely nonchalant, plain-faced the entire time. They've introduced, as opposed to, you know, the family that he runs into, that there is a girl who is ostensibly the person who's the one who's the, it's from her perspective, who is his assistant.
Yeah, cute glasses girl.
Yeah. But yeah, so it's not bad.
This has not been picked up by Shonen Jump Alpha.
No, it has not.
Okay, good. Then it might last a while.
You guys are mean about that.
It's mostly true, though, and, like, you were the one who, when Nisekoi got picked up, you immediately went, well, goodbye, Nisekoi.
Yep, it's, well, I was gonna wait until later in the podcast when we get to that point, but yeah, Nisekoi is getting canceled, guys. It just got picked up this week by Shonen Jump Alpha, so it had a good run while it lasted.
Kinda.
So mean.
Alright, so, finally actually on to Beelzebub.
Beelzebub. Yes.
So this is the quarterfinals of the couples tournament.
Yes.
Where they immediately announce that Paco and Kenzaki are out. Or not out, but yeah. Paco has to get medical attention because she drank that entire drink herself.
Yeah, and Ryoko, yeah, Ryoko points out it's because she drank that by herself.
And their opponent was Furuichi and Nene.
Yes.
So we're definitely at this bracket going to see one of those two out.
Okay, quick. Who's going to win?
I don't think anyone's going to win. I think it's going to be called a no contest.
I think Furuichi's moving on because we have to have Nene versus Aoi.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, I could see that. I think that Furuichi will move on, but inexplicably, the other two will become an official couple.
I hope that it becomes like some contest where that requires two people, but Paco isn't better yet, so it's just Kanzaki and he can't do anything by himself.
Or Himekawa steps up.
Yeah.
We keep shipping yes. Himekawa and Kanzaki.
Well, they're always together.
Yeah, it's...
He dresses up like her and gets in there.
God. I am betting that I agree with the Aoi Nene thing, but I think that whatever happens, Furuichi is going to deliver some stirring speech protecting Nene, and she's not going to hear it.
Or he's going to immediately follow up by accidentally grabbing her boobs or something.
Yes. So in this one, Kuneda and Izuma?
Izuma, yeah.
They're going are up for the next round. And before they do, they meet up with Hilda and Oga, who they exchange their words. And Izuma taunts Oga by saying,
trash-talk one another.
Do you know why Kuneda's joining? And she freaks out. And Oga's... He gets a smarmy look on his face like, oh, it's for Koda, right? Which is the best panel in this is Izuma crying and saying, Kuneda, I feel so very sorry for you.
Yes, he thought he had it bad with his girl, but...
She knows, she just doesn't care. Yeah. Well, Oga just doesn't know.
He is completely oblivious.
But Kuneda tells Hilda that she will not lose. Which, I double meaning, I suppose, but...
Of course.
Yeah.
Hilda says that she has to work her way to the top first. And then,
because they would only meet in the finals, so obviously that's, you know, foreshadowing.
And the Tojo couple recognizes that they're not being, yeah. They're being ignored at all, completely. Yeah.
It's their battle, but...
Yeah, so Kuneda and Izuma get in, and it's a... What's the word, like, there's a specific term for that thing where
Like, piggyback?
Chicken?
Piggyback.
One of those. It's not. I don't think it's piggyback.
No, piggyback is what. No, it's at least in pools. If you're doing that thing, it's chicken. You try and knock the other two people over. But
okay.
Yeah, you're right.
So they get in tracksuits and
why tracksuits?
Because that means she has to wear shorts.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. And Kuneda has to get on top of Izuma with her thighs around his head.
Or, as Izuma points out, he could get on her shoulders, which is a great panel of him sitting on her going, so high.
And for a different reason, she can't do that either.
So basically, the rest of the chapter is Kuneda being incredibly flustered.
Yes. So adorable.
And Furuichi being incredibly mad that he didn't get this contest.
I liked her concept of... He would be standing on her feet while she's doing a handstand.
Yes. That was great, too.
Yeah.
So during all this, eventually, as the time runs out to the very last second, she agrees to jump on.
And then, like, while the other girl is trash-talking her, steals her headband.
Yeah.
Instantly.
Like, because without anybody being able to see it.
It hasn't come up very recently, but Kuneda's an incredibly strong fighter.
Yes. Do you think her demon helped out, or do you think it's just supposed to be, like, they're so strong that...
I think she's just super fast.
Yeah, I think it's they're so strong that normal people could not.
So, yeah, and then Shizuka asks how it went, and Izuma says that Aoi's thighs were incredibly smooth.
And so she gut punches him.
Yes, which was great. Also, Shizuka didn't much care for that answer either.
Yeah. I think Izuma's going to end up falling for Kuneda.
I don't know. He seems so nonplussed by everything. It's actually making me kind of like him as a character, that he's always just standing there smiling like an idiot.
Well, come on. Wouldn't you be smiling like an idiot if you had to have her on your shoulders, too?
Yeah.
Yes. All right. I forgot the second round. Our second round was Tojo and Shizuka.
Yeah.
And they have to play out dating scenarios.
Yes. For a panel of judges, including the deliberation guy.
Yeah. There he is again, and nobody still knows who he is.
He is the judge.
Maybe.
God, I can't wait for like some fight 50 chapters from now that he's going to pop out and make a ruling on something. It's going to be so great. And so they start playing out scenarios, and turns out Tojo is not a very good actor, so Shizuka balances this out by just getting all doughy-eyed every time.
She injects some drama.
Yes.
Like, Tojo's excuse for being late is that the guy he was fighting unexpectedly had a kid. So he didn't even make something up. He just remembered a time he was late.
And so Shizuka dough-eyes and starts crying, which causes all the judges to cry and give her a 10.
Yeah, because the people Tojo was beating up were ones who were after her father because he borrowed money.
The best one.
Perfectly valid reason.
So in the second round, it's...
Okay, before we go to the second round, there's a sign for the second round that I don't understand.
The train with the...
That says, I won a lawsuit?
I don't know. And there's, like, paparazzi taking pictures of it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Was there a lawsuit around Thomas the Tank Engine or something like that?
I don't know. None of that makes sense. Like, maybe it means something? Maybe it's just a weird sight gag?
I think it's just a weird sight gag. I mean, the one for the first round was, like, a fish eating a guy.
Yeah.
So?
Still very strange. Anyway, they bring in hired thugs to act, which at first confused me because I thought I was reading last week's Assassination Classroom.
That looks like those guys.
Yeah. So they come in, they see Tojo, and they get scared.
Well, of course, wouldn't you?
And Tojo just says hey to them.
Hey, what's up, guys?
And since they won't intimidate Tojo's group, Shizuka just does a doughy-eyed, you're my older brothers that we've been separated from birth.
That means you're Shizuka. Shizuka!
And then she gets perfect scores.
Again.
Alright, so the way this has to work out is Tojo and Shizuka have to go against
Oga.
Oga and Hilda.
And Hilda.
Okay.
That's how the brackets work out. Unless they're going to get shuffled.
Yeah. Or unless they throw some weird curveball.
Yeah.
Like, Oga and Hilda just lose next round.
You just want Shizuka to go
don't
up against
the
president.
Don't think that that's
going to happen. I mean, it's Beelzebub.
It could happen, but I don't think it's going to.
I could see them losing and Hilda just destroying the school.
I could see Tojo and Oga's fight destroying the school. And then they both get disqualified.
And then Furuichi wins.
And all Furuichi wishes for is a girlfriend.
And then they make Nene, they like order Nene to be his girlfriend against her wishes.
I agree with this hypothetical plot.
Yes, I would be perfectly fine with this sequence of events.
But yeah, this has been I would say that this is not the best tournament chapter so far, but it's been great.
Yeah, no, it was still entertaining, but I would say that this is probably the weakest of the actual tournament chapters so far.
I think mostly because I don't really care that much about Kuneda and Izuma's as a partner. I think Kuneda's adorable, and I thought all that stuff was adorable, but that actual match is like, meh.
And Shizuka and Tojo twice, so double them.
Yeah. I mean, but it's good he's getting all this out of the way now, because next one has to be more interesting.
I really enjoy the gag of Shizuka just, you know, doughy-eyed, crying, getting perfect scores every time. Just the same trick.
I'm enjoying her as a character through this.
If she's Tojo's friend, then she probably has a bit of a punk in her.
Yeah. Well, I always got the vibe that she was a former punk that ended up going to the prep school.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, she has the rich... another one of those ones where she has the rich parents but actually listened to them and went to the prep school.
Yeah.
She's the anti-Furuichi.
It is... I don't know. Kuneida is a great character, but there weren't any like main females besides her and Hilda, so it's nice to, like, Nene and them were all side characters, so
they were lesser than Kuneida.
They were female Furuichis.
How terrible.
That's a really mean thing to say, I guess.
Yes. All right, so any thoughts before you move on?
What do you think the challenge is going to be for Oga's match, next match?
He's up against just some random people, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I bet just some cultural thing that we're not going to get.
I hope it's a quiz show.
One of the ones where you have to answer questions about your partner.
That'd be great if it was the guy from Behemoth's Army. Like, we found this guy that really liked quizzes, so we asked him to come help.
But yeah, I do hope that that is one of the rounds at some... Actually, I would like it if that was one of the ones with Furuichi, is that you have to, you know, like, one person writes down the answer for what their favorite something is, and then the partner is the person who's supposed to answer what they wrote down.
And then it just insults him the entire time?
Yeah.
I could deal with that.
Thing you hate, and then Furuichi screams, Furuichi!
Alright, so off of Beelzebub, on to Bleach.
Who I'm going to guess is just ahead of Beelzebub because center color.
Yeah. And this chapter, like, this is
Pompadour
the
guy was entertaining.
Pompadour guy acted exactly like I expected Pompadour guy to act from his design.
It just amuses me that he was the head of the healing squad. That was not some... I mean, and I realized that they chose him to be that guy just because it's clashes with what you would expect. But
it clashes with Unohana, basically.
Yeah.
Who gets, like, all serious business when he's around.
Yeah.
So I like these guys.
I don't know. I feel like I'm just over Bleach's character at this point.
I guessed wrong on Fat Girl, though. She's not actually a Shiba, despite having their symbol on her cheeks.
It's just a...
Yeah, it's just a swirl, but it was kind of oblong and looked quite a bit like their clan symbol. But I doubt Kubo remembers that clan at this point.
Are we supposed to remember her?
No. Like,
no, okay. None of these people were ever introduced before.
Okay, because the talk she was having with Shinji made it seem like, you know...
Yeah,
I think
he was
supposed to remember her.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Because, remember, he's from a long-ass time ago.
Yeah. So, all the what are these called? The Zero Squad.
Yeah.
Their former...
Captains.
Looking it up, you know who that lady is?
Huh?
She is the former captain of the 12th Division. She was the one that retired when Shinji became the captain.
No, I thought that the former captain of the 12th Division is the one who broke into the 12th Division and, you know, has all the pods and stuff.
The what?
The one who has everybody in the healing pod things.
Oh, yeah. Maybe.
Yeah, because the 12th Division is the tech division, and she has those, you know, technological arms or whatever it is.
No, it's that lady because I messed up. Shinji wasn't that division. It was Urahara. And remember, Hiyori hated Urahara because he wasn't as nice as the former captain lady? That's the former captain lady.
Oh. Okay.
That makes sense.
Fair enough.
The more you know.
But anyway, it was basically these characters standing around and talking.
Yep, talky chapter.
And Soifong being Soifong and yelling about nothing.
And then
yelling about the fact that somebody was able to sneak up behind her.
Yeah.
And then a phone in the boiler room of Soul Society rang, and somebody was on it.
Walking Dead references, really?
Yeah, well, they're both shambling corpses.
Oh, ouch. Ouch. apparently Pod Lady just, you know, she got the three important characters to Ichigo.
I would have loved if she just said, no, these are the main characters, let's go.
Isn't Rukia awake and not all that dying?
Yeah, I thought so.
Also, this is what really bothered me. Why is Byakuya still dying? Why?
I knew you would love that they pointed out that, like, if he stays here, he'll die. I'm just like, oh man, Imran's gonna be so pissed.
It's just, they're stretching this out so long.
He doesn't want to go on the cart.
But yeah, Unohana can't save them.
Yeah, and they also have a separate pod for Ichigo's Bankai.
Which
they gotta fix that too. I'm glad you guys mentioned last week about how that chapter was like, you know, this is a hard, fast rule that can never be broken, except for all those times that it's already been broken in the manga, so I'm gonna go through and explain.
Yeah, why not just make a different rule?
Why not have it be like, your Bankai broke, and for some reason I can't fix it? I'm not sure
because
why.
You're not actually a Soul Reaper. You're a human with Soul Reaper powers, and that makes all the difference.
Or
you're special. Deal with it.
Your Bankai is too young. Ours are all hundreds of years old, and it doesn't have enough built up.
Instead, it's got to be this guy can get away with it.
Or even if
this
it was
you haven't noticed. Like
yeah, even if it was this thing about like this is a consequence of unlocking your Bankai the way that you did, where you had like actually physically fought your sword through Uraharo's way, because that was a different way than they normally unlock it. If you remember back to the Soul Society arc,
or they could even just say, "Hey, this magically powerful Quincy broke it. He has magical powerful Quincy powers.
Magic
shit's fucked."
Yeah. So anyway, this chapter ends with, "Oh, good, you're all gathered in one spot."
Yeah.
Yes, and somebody else is saying, "Hey, looks like everybody's together."
It's gonna say Urahara.
Yeah. Well, given the type treatment of him with his weird little, you know, holding on syllables thing, it's definitely him.
Yeah.
And then it ends really abruptly, like
I thought there was supposed to be another page.
Yeah.
Like Ichigo looks behind him, then done. I mean, that's. This is so treading water. Like, if everything you can accuse Kubo of delaying tactics for the last couple of weeks, this one's exemplifying that to a T.
Although, again, I don't mind these new characters.
I think they're totally unnecessary.
They are totally unnecessary, but...
But yeah. I don't mind.
Yeah.
I mean, why do they need... Would it really have bothered anybody if it turned out Unohana could save them?
Yeah, no. I like that she's suddenly incompetent all of a sudden.
So, yeah, this is what bothers me the most, is that all the Gotei 13 now have this, like, upper level above them that are way stronger than they ever were.
Yeah, they kind of got...
Well, but that's been implied for a long time.
I mean, the way Bleach does things, though. It's, okay, these guys are really powerful. Oh, this group is way more powerful than them, and then this group is way more powerful.
But then we're going to find out that, oh, they're actually not that much more powerful, and the old people can still hold their own and are relevant, just like it happened last time.
So, I have a question. These guys are really strong, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't they come out with that whole, you know, Aizen trying to kill the Soul King and wipe out the human world thing happened?
Oh yeah, that would have made sense, wouldn't it?
Considering... Because they were guarding the Soul King, not the world of the living.
That, I mean, if anything directly involved the Soul King, that would have been it.
Yeah.
I think it involves them more than, oh god, Byakuya is dying for like the last 12 hours.
Maybe Byakuya's grandpa is the Soul King.
The reason they didn't come out beforehand was because they were enjoying Brooke's music too much anyway.
Yeah. So.
One Piece references?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
It says a lot about Bleach that we can't talk about Bleach during Bleach.
How awesome would that be if they go to the throne and Brooke's just there? And it's a crossover. This is what happened during the 2-year time skip. All of Bleach.
There was some manga this week that I wanted to say was crossover-y, but I forgot what it was. Oh well. Whatever. It just... I didn't like this chapter, and I haven't liked Bleach chapters in a while, but this one, it felt completely unnecessary.
It was a segue-y chapter.
Yeah. So, next week, I guess, we find out what happened to Urahara.
Next week's going to be another talkie, and then they're finally going to start actually going back up to the palace.
That pisses me off, too, that if it is Urahara, and likely it is... Then they just sort of left it there.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if the next chapter started from the moment we last saw him and then catches back up to...
It's not that saying, oh, they'll never explain it. It's just that it's terrible pacing.
It is. It's almost as if he forgot about Urahara and is now kind of hodgepodging it back in.
No, I don't think he forgot about him. I just think that he's not that good at pacing.
Like, the whole thing's just terrible pacing. It's characters will get in bad situations, and then they'll just get out. Like, there'll be no rising to the occasion. They'll just get out.
Yeah, I mean, how many times do we see, like, Hitsugaya, like, oh, I'm about to die, cut to, like, the other person's dead, and there's no visible signs of what happened, and him just going, like, what's going on over there?
That, Bleach.
Naruto.
Yeah, let's go to Naruto. So Naruto was a hot mess of nonsense.
It's action.
It was a busy chapter. No, it made sense.
I didn't understand it.
A lot of it's
the fact that everyone's constantly jumping and moving everywhere.
It's the Gundam fight now.
Yeah, they've basically gotten in their mechas.
Yes, so the Ten Tails
is strong.
Is out and is strong. So there's a little bit of talkie early on. Naruto analyzes the power, like he goes into sage mode, which apparently he has to give up the Nine Tails chakra to do that, which is something that hadn't been previously established, I guess.
One of the things that's confusing about this is they keep moving between different versions of Naruto and the Nine Tails.
Yes.
And it's like, oh, this one's the ultra version that's actually outside of the fight, and this one's the internal version. This one's the Naruto that's over on the side, I guess.
This is the one back in Konoha, taking a nap.
When did Kakashi get out? Did he get out last chapter?
Yeah, he came out, like, after punching him in the gut.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, they talk a little bit more and then start just having a regular fight where, Ninetales restores everyone back to healthy chakra levels.
Yeah. Except for Guy, because I need to get him?
He tosses Guy to him so he can do that.
Okay.
Yeah. He eats him and Guy's just kind of recovering in him. So this is the kind of final boss where they restore all your HP before the battle.
Yes.
So then they go in to fight, and the Ten Tails basically starts kicking their butts. They attempt to do a whole bunch of those tailed beast bomb things, and it just kind of annihilates all of them.
I gotta say, I love how the Ten Tails moves, because it's apparently crawling across the ground with its long arms. It just, I don't know, it's kind of cool.
It looks like the ghost from The Grudge.
Yeah.
From Ju-on.
It kind of reminds me of No Face from Spirited Away.
Yeah.
Like when he gets all crazy.
It's a good design in general. That it's like, it's a tiny blob that doesn't waste any movements.
Yeah, and has a lot of tails.
Yes.
But then anyway, during the giant blast, Ninetales basically blocks it while Kakashi and the Eight Tails go into that other dimension. And then pops back out. But in the blind spot, so above the eye. Kakashi didn't go in. He only sucked the Eight Tails in, and then they were thrown during the explosion into the blind spot.
So Kakashi's a Pokeball. So you're saying Kakashi's a Pokeball.
Yes, and then summons the Eight Tails with a Beast Bomb directly above the Ten Tails.
But they had to sacrifice a tentacle to do it.
I'm sure this is totally going to work. Ten Tails is dead. The end.
The thing that gets me about this is that it's sort of the, if I'm understanding it correctly, it's like a super advanced Kamui version of that Zabuza thing.
You think?
I guess.
Because they use the tentacle as a distraction, and then once he cuts it off, that's when the Eight Tails appears above him.
So you mean anime?
Use it as a distraction. It's just that Kakashi, like, he apologizes because he accidentally cut it off because he didn't suck everything in.
Oh, that makes sense.
A couple of tentacles got cut off when, on the edge of the portal, basically.
Yeah.
So, when Obito and Madara were talking about the fact that he got the Ten Tails now, and Madara wants to play around a bit with it first. Like, I guess they don't have the full power of the plan yet.
Well, they say conserve it, so I'm guessing whatever contract they've done, they have limited resources with the Ten Tail. Like, it can run out and disappear. It's not as limitless as a natural tailed beast.
Well, Obito seems to want to get
it. And then they have to prepare the moon itself, so like there's some other stage to this which needs to occur.
Yeah, because Obito is definitely concerned about, like, we don't really have time for this fight, just kill them.
And Madara wants to just take it lightly for a little bit.
Yeah, take it for a test drive, you know, see what it can do.
Which I'm guessing is going to be the tragic downfall.
Yeah, get the Ten Tails out on a country road and see how fast you can get it going.
Okay, that makes a bit more sense, because I did not understand this at all when I was reading it.
Yeah, and so does the Ten Tails kind of like have a tentacle going into the back of both of their heads?
Yeah, I saw that too, and that was confusing me. But it looks like they're either controlling him or he's charging them up.
Yeah, I bet it's how they're controlling it. because it seems to be tapped into their spine or something. So
yeah,
it is like a G Gundam kind of thing.
But anyway, it took me a time or two to tell what all was going on, because it's a very, very busy chapter. I honestly can't wait to see this stuff animated. Like, actually, they're doing the war arc now, so I'm considering going back and looking at the anime for this just to see some of these fights animated.
It really is emblematic of how confusing this is when there's a panel showing everybody's reactions and there's two Narutos.
I'd love if the Narutos had different reactions.
Yeah, this is...
and the other one's no!
It's a good chapter. I think the sketchy style is part of what makes it really hard to follow.
Action lines. Every panel has action lines.
And they're often double page spreads.
Glad we had this talk, because now I understand this chapter a little bit better. There's a lot of stuff I apparently missed.
You're welcome. No.
I like how B has, like... I mean, it's not a new thing. It's been basically since the time skip, but that he's basically one of the most important characters in the story.
Remember when we... Well, I don't think we were doing the podcast at the time, but everybody thought he was going to die.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought Sasuke was going to kill him.
Yeah.
Same here. Like, and everybody was, like, all sad about it, because he was everybody's favorite character from the page he showed up.
Well, in fairness, at that point, Sasuke was, like, he was batting 1,000.
Do you think he was supposed to die, and then the character polls come back, and it's like, whoa, wait, hold on a sec.
It's been so long since they've had a character poll for this one, I highly doubt that, but, yeah.
I'm sure maybe he got, like, internal, the comments could say, I fucking love B.
Yeah.
But it didn't seem like... That whole Sasuke fight didn't make any sense at the time. Except to establish that B was really strong.
Well, no, it made sense in terms of, you know, showing the Eight Tails getting captured or something like that. But I honestly don't think that he was originally supposed to die, because his role was always to be the one to show Naruto how to make peace with the Kyuubi. To be able to take the power into himself, basically.
I suppose.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's Naruto, so it could just as easily been him, like, Naruto being strong and then proves to the Kyuubi that he deserves it.
Nah, but the entire series has kind of been about Naruto, you know, and his various mentors, you know?
Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah. He is Naruto's sensei.
It's funny to me that B is one of the more popular and important characters in the story.
He's a good guy.
Yeah. Except for the shitty translation he got this week.
I don't know. It amused me slightly.
I mean, it's a funny rhyme. It's just weird. Does the Naruto universe even have porn stars?
Don't even talk about it. Let's just go on to the assassination clause. Come on.
All right.
Yeah. You didn't take the transition I teed up for you, so you know.
I don't remember it.
He doesn't.
Speaking of senseis.
Okay.
Yeah.
Speaking of senseis,
Isekoi,
where Kenzaki is playing a bullet hell shmup in the Kyoto common room.
Yeah, I think Yukiko is going to be a pretty main character now. They've done a lot of building on her, specifically.
Yeah, I figured, like, I was kind of miffed by that sudden epiphany last week, where she was like, oh, maybe I don't need to worry, but they're still talking about it, they're still bringing it up.
I love that she's clearly playing a cave shooter.
Yeah.
Ugh.
But this is the denouement for this whole Kyoto vacation thing.
Yeah.
Where everyone's dealing with the fact that, you know, not all the plans worked out, but for the most part, they had fun.
Yeah, it's all good.
I like that even Karasuma can, you know, put the paperwork down for a second and play ping pong with people.
Yeah. And then...
there's nothing wrong with ping pong.
Nope.
I like how they subvert a lot of the vacation tropes with the peeping part is them peeping on Kuro-sensei.
Yeah.
With Nakamura, a woman going to peep on sensei.
And they can't see him because he produces natural bubble bath.
And turned all of the water into, like, a mucus soup.
Oh. So
flew out the window.
I gotta admit, I never wondered what he looked like under that. I was
Now that I can't
stop
thinking
about it. I
thought
of him as an octopus, just a head with tentacles. That's always what I envisioned.
Tentacles coming right out of the circle head, like nothing. But now it's got me. Like, is there something there?
This the Kakashi mask mystery of. Oh, that was a terrible.
So,
and then
meanwhile,
the girls, girl, you're interested in ranking.
Yes, the boys are with Kanzaki winning handily.
Though I'm amused that Karma's his choice was Okuda-san.
Yes, the dorky plain girl.
Because she could be his, you know, backup, the one in the shadows making all of the poisons.
I thought that was cute though that he you know actually had a girl.
So on your like, why does Karma have like a weird nostril in one of these panels?
I don't know. I think I was thinking that was a cleaning error. It's just
maybe
like a stray.
At first, I thought it was trying to be like the "all my friends are dead" thing because this manga, if anyone were to do it, it would be him, but it doesn't quite match up.
I think his nose is the dot in the right spot, and then maybe something happened when they were cleaning the manga, or it actually printed like that on accident. But
yeah,
I don't think it was intentional.
But now that you said the "all my friends are dead" thing, that's all I can see now looking at it.
So it turns out that Koro-sensei was spying on them the entire time they were doing this ranking.
And writing what their choices were.
It's a, like the good gag of seeing him just outside the window.
Yep.
Yes.
And then bouncing the hell out of there.
Start chasing after him.
Meanwhile, in the girls' dormitory.
We find out that the teacher's only 20.
Yes.
And they start asking her for stories about past romances.
So I got really worried because, you know, they show like all the junk food she's eating. One of those packages looks a lot like condoms. So, I was wondering what was going on. Like, before I scroll down on the page.
I think those are just,
I think they're just, like, mints
hand
or something.
Wipes.
Yeah.
Or maybe that, too. But yeah, she tells them about her past, and then Kuro Sensei just there.
Yeah, he wanted to hear these stories, too.
What's funny is I didn't even notice him in the panel where he's sitting there.
Oh,
until,
yeah.
Like, the next page.
Yeah, he is there, huh?
Yeah.
Well, he
so
just
they
appeared.
They ask him for his lost love questions. And he tries to dodge it by running away.
And he gets cornered by the boys and the girls, who have taken this opportunity to try and kill him.
Yep.
Well, of course. It's an opportunity for assassination.
And it ends it with, like, the classic vacation and everybody had fun sort of thing.
Yeah.
I love that it's... It's the panel of Nagisa and girl Nagisa, and they're like, you know, oh, this vacation turned out really good, as she's pulling a knife out of her kimono and he's pulling a gun out of his.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, I'd like to take another school trip. It's a shame that the world's going to get destroyed, you know.
Yep.
And then comes the most, or possibly the most important story part of this entire arc.
Yeah.
That Koro-sensei makes some joke about how he couldn't count anything with, like, all his tentacles. Or his arms and legs, essentially.
Yeah, he could count the number of lost loves on a hand or something like that.
Yeah.
And then Kurosuma mentions that when he had two of each, and Koro-sensei gets really quiet.
Meaning so that he had two hands and two feet at some point.
Yes.
The implication being he used to be human.
Yes.
Which we should have assumed, right? We've seen him in a flashback with a human body, I thought.
Did
well,
we?
No, we saw, like, a flashback, and I thought it was from his perspective or something like that.
We saw a flashback of a human there, but I don't think...
I thought the human was the female that he was
Yeah, it was
dying.
The human was the teacher.
Yeah.
I'll try and find the page real quick, but I've always assumed that he used to be human.
It never occurred to me at all.
It didn't
I always assumed government experiment or something.
Yeah. Well, that can still be the case.
Yeah.
I, honestly, weirdly enough, was always assuming, you know, alien...
Actually an alien.
Yeah.
So we each had different takes on it.
But it's just, it's one of those things like, whoa, him being human, that puts a different wrinkle on the story. Now I really want to know about his origins.
Yeah, and like, why he wants to destroy the planet and everything else.
I found the page.
He kind...
I don't know.
It's humanoid.
Yeah,
he has in the first panel there, he has a tentacle for his right hand.
But he's obviously more human at that point, so I always assume that, I don't know.
Like, maybe he's taking this form on intentionally.
Yeah. I guess I had just always taken it as the fact that he used to be human, but now that I think about it, there was never any concrete evidence of that.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah.
It's strange that, I don't know if Kurosuma knows, or he figured it out, or just, you know.
I think he knows.
Yeah, I think it's, well, I mean, the implication being, since he knows that the government knows, which does, you know, point to that government experimentation sort of thing, too.
Yeah. And Kurosawa gets sort of cryptic with telling Kurosawa it's a wise choice, and immediately follows up with, even while traveling, it's rude to talk about another one's limbs.
Wonderful.
Which is an interesting line.
Yeah. This is a good chapter, but I like that ending a lot.
I always like when these kind of manga can be like stupid, silly times, and then all of a sudden shit gets real.
Yeah, it's intriguing, which I wouldn't have expected.
Yeah,
there was mystery there, but it was mystery. I assumed that like it didn't really matter if it was answered or not.
Yeah, it's enough that it is mentioned.
Yes, but this I'm interested in. I'm curious.
I hope you can keep up this pacing with this mystery, because if you can master like just dropping, you know, little clues and breadcrumbs here and there.
Yeah, just like, dribbling it out.
Yeah. Not too slow, not too fast. If you do it right, it makes for a very compelling story.
But it's even if, like, the bad thing to do would be to leave the mystery, you know, to do it like a Detective Conan way, where you realize that you have something on your hands and you can't ever end the mystery, so you just keep it going forever.
And all of a sudden your character has been living as a child for 8 years and hasn't really bothered to try and solve his...
Yeah. That would be the complete wrong way to go about it.
I don't get that reference at all, so I'm just going to stay quiet.
Yeah. David Conan's not bad. It's just, eventually at some point, it gets silly. Not the tone of the manga, it's just the fact that it stays the same and nothing changes.
Well, it's the Law and Order of manga.
Yeah. People who otherwise are completely normal end up staging incredibly elaborate murder scenes.
I always love those crimes of passion that were like, I killed her in the heat of the moment, so I grabbed some candles and tied a, you know, switch to them so that when the candles burned down, it would activate this thing and hang her, and
it would look like a suicide.
Yeah, it's like, how did you come up with that?
Well, of course. You know, how else would you kill somebody, right?
Well, everybody in Detective Conan is Rube Goldberg, and that's the problem.
Yeah. I think we've talked about it on this podcast before, but my favorite one was the guy that cut off the girl's head and pretended to be fat by having the head under his shirt.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned that.
That was the crux of his plan. Oh. That guy was not the genius Rube Goldberg.
Did it make him look fat?
Yes, for some reason. Like, he got chubbier in the face and arms and stuff.
All right, then. Nisekoi?
Yeah, do we want to...
Yeah. It was a one-off chapter, so we can talk about it real quick.
Yeah, basically, Chitoge has come to terms that she's in love with Sugumi. Or not... I wish. Raku. I love the gag that she sees him waiting in the normal spot, and she runs back to a window and, like, straightens herself out for him. It's very cute.
I like that, you know... The realization she's in love. That's a cute thing.
Yeah. Just like, well... Generally,
and then goes through the day, like, thinking intricately about all of the normal things and how it's different to her now.
Yes. Everything is different. Nothing will ever be the same.
It's nice in a romance manga, because somebody admitting they have feelings, at least internally, is way better than, like, nobody ever admitting anything ever.
Yeah. And then... The best character in this manga returns, the pendant.
Yes. And it's still broken.
Yes. There's something jammed up inside of it. I don't know, gum or something.
So, obviously, just get a sledgehammer, break it open.
I do like this thing of, like, Mari just immediately, like, okay, let's try Mikey. Just really fast.
And then I also like the reversal of Chitoge, because she's actually interested in him now, that instead of being interested in seeing what's inside of it, she's paranoid that it's not actually something with her, so she doesn't want to try the keys anymore.
Because the first time hers got stuck, so she's not sure if it's her key or not. Yeah. So the locksmith says that there's something strange about the lock, and it can't be opened normally. And my guess is you have to use all three keys at the same time or something.
That's exactly what I was thinking too.
Yeah, that is, I'd say with 100% certainty what's going to have to happen. That seems like a Nisekoi thing, right?
Yeah, it seems like a Nisekoi thing. It's kind of stupid, but...
I love, after he says it's broken, Mari just whips out like a hacksaw and screwdrivers and stuff out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I love her craziness. It's making her
the
my favorite.
Yeah, and the trying to figure out what's on the inside, and it's like, well, it's so small, it's probably an engagement ring.
Yeah, so then, like you said, Chitoge kind of talks everyone down, and they walk home together, and...
She's super adorable this chapter.
Yeah.
Well, she... generally, Onodere is the one that's, like, the most adorable character in this, but...
Actually, she's acting more Onodere-ish now that she's being all shy and...
Yeah.
At least, you know, until the end when she punches him like normal, but...
Yeah, she's happy, and that's nice.
Also really liking Raku more with the, wait, there's something weird about you. I know. It's because you're hungry, right?
Yes. We've been together so long, I can tell these things now.
Yes. And then she demands that he treats her to ramen, and it's like, wait, so you were hungry?
Yeah. I like her angry punch face.
Yeah, this was kind of refreshing after a while of it being pretty bog standard.
Well, the Romeo and Juliet stuff was actually bad, I feel.
It was heavy-handed.
It got funny when the play actually started, and they started messing it up. Especially
I have to say, with these arc things, only reading the last chapter of the arc, Imran, you're kind of missing out on the better parts of the series.
I think it just...
Which are always Mari.
It bothered me because it was thematically lazy, I guess.
Yeah, they really...
It's like outright calling out what you were parallels.
Well, it's because I don't like when people in literature use Romeo and Juliet as shorthand. Like, okay, this is a love story. It's Romeo and Juliet.
Which is, you know, the most romantic thing ever.
Screw you, Dad. I'm going to go hang out with my girlfriend.
Kill myself.
Wait, she's sleeping. Okay, I'm going to kill myself.
See, they should have done something weird like Much Ado About Nothing and then try to figure out a way to make it work. That wouldn't have been as lazy.
The Comedy of Errors. That's what we need. Yeah. We need to have a manga version of the Comedy of Errors.
Taming of the Shrew. That would have been hilarious.
Springtime for Hitler.
I would read that.
I actually think Taming of the Shrew would work pretty well for this.
Well, yeah, no, but I mean, yeah.
It just, they went
well,
the...
Well, not this specifically, but I could see a, you know, a 10 Things I Hate About You-esque rendition of the Taming of the Shrew as a romance manga. I could see that.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that I hate it, it's just lazy. And do we want to stick with this? Predictions?
My prediction was Three Keys opens it. Just placing that there.
I had
now.
The exact same thing. I have no real predictions for next chapter. I think that we're going to be in a stage of, you know, one-off individual things, focusing on different girls each time, sort of thing.
Yeah,
just to
probably.
Not doing a whole lot of plot movement.
So speaking of no plot movement,
One Piece.
Yeah.
What do you mean no plot movement?
No.
Quite the opposite.
Yeah. First off, the cover page, which Caribou seems to land on, what was it, Drummel Island?
He lands on the island that ex-Drake confronted one of Kaido's people on.
Oh,
way
okay.
back.
Really? So it's something we've seen before. I was
thinking... Yeah, those mountains in the background are something that we've seen before.
I saw the metal tree, and I assumed it was that island that Chopper was from.
I saw the metal trees and assumed it was Vegapunk's island.
Now, this is, we specifically saw those mountains in the background. X-Drake landed, and there was some guy who was saying, oh, this is one of Kaido's islands, and he says something along the lines of, oh, well then, that's good, because he was looking for one of the Yonko to challenge, and so then he turns into a dinosaur, and we assume attacked the guy.
So my favorite subtle thing on Caribou here is the shark bite on his stomach, just bleeding profusely out of the holes.
He shouldn't be able to get bitten, should he?
He shouldn't be able to swim either.
Maybe, yeah, that's a good point.
I guess, yeah, he could be bitten, because Luffy's still rubber even when he's in water.
Is he? I thought Seastone...
Yeah, remember that. Well, no.
Yeah,
because entire...
Sanji grabbed his head and pulled it up.
Yeah. Oh, maybe
he
that shark could
stretch himself, but...
Maybe
yeah.
The shark could use hockey. I don't know.
Sharky.
That is where they Shocky. Learned hockey from, is from the, you know, the Sea Kings.
You learned earthbending from the moles, and you learned hockey from the Sea Kings.
Yes.
So Caesar Crown has his motley crew that he's been using, plan to use as guinea pigs, sitting in the control room with him.
Yeah, the start of this chapter is Brownbeard shouting down Caesar.
Yeah. And telling Caesar to come down to face him.
And to return his crew to him.
Yeah. That's not Brownbeard's crew there, is it?
Some of it is.
Yeah, some of it.
Okay. Because they sound like... I got confused by that.
Some of it was left outside, too. They were the ones fighting Smoker's crew, I believe.
Yeah. That got...
Yeah, stonified.
So Brownbeard is trying to convince them that Caesar Crown is evil.
Yes.
And Caesar Crown had apparently drugged him when he first got down there.
Yeah. So he was unable to say the words guinea pigs.
Yeah.
And then Caesar, being evil in the hilarious way that he is, decides to whisper in his ear that, oh yeah, you know that chemical explosion 4 years ago? That was me.
Yeah.
Says, I'm a jerk.
Just reveling in how evil he is.
So Brownbeard goes crazy and tries to attack Caesar.
And then his crew attacks him.
Yeah, Caesar convinces them that he's been indoctrinated by the Straw Hats.
Yeah, which he kind of has.
Yeah.
Yeah, indoctrinated with the truth.
I said a couple of weeks ago Caesar Crown is a really lame villain, but this is pushing the evil pretty far.
Yeah,
he revels in his evilness.
He's also not like big flashy evil. He's more like quiet, you know.
He's kind of flashy evil.
He is insidious.
Insidious is the word I was looking for.
Yeah.
Well, he goes flashy evil once Luffy appears and saves Brownbeard.
So, Caesar's, he's about to use his maracas and then Luffy grazes him with a gear 3 punch.
Yeah, random question. Have we got that? I'm assuming we have in the post time skip thing, but have we seen that he doesn't turn into a kid after using gear 3rd anymore?
Yeah, well, he's using it here and he doesn't turn into a kid, so.
Yeah,
I think he used it against that had happened previously. When they were getting back on the ship and he used it against the Marines there.
Yeah, I haven't seen him turn into a kid since the time skip, so I'm wondering. Yeah. Just wait till he can go gear 4 and then turn into a kid again.
Yeah, he grazes Caesar, and Momonosuke points out that Caesar is the one who's been poisoning the kids.
Points out in a flashback, right?
Yeah.
Oh, no, wait.
He says that guy in front of us. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It was the other ones that are flashbacks.
Yes. So, Caesar Crown starts monologuing, basically.
Yeah. He does the Bond villain, you can't touch me because I have all of these people.
He starts to explain his entire plan.
Yes.
He is a Bond villain. That is what he is.
Well, the funny thing is he starts explaining Doflamingo's plan, too. He can't stop.
It mass produces a fruit called Smile in artificial Zoan, which I'm going to call this out now. They are not able to transform. They get turned into the animal hybrid, but they're not going to be able to change form.
Like Big Mom's crew, right?
Well, that Peckham might be one. We don't know.
I'm gonna say Harpy is probably
maybe
the
Bobo?
First example.
Because Bobo can talk, right? So
Beppo.
Yeah, Beppo. That's what it is. Not Bobo. Yeah.
I think he's just a bear.
Well, so we find out that Doflamingo has a client that's one of the young
for Yonko.
Yeah, at this point, it has to be either Big Mom or
It's Kaido. Gonna be. Mom, because we've seen her crew, and everyone we've seen so far has animal parts.
No, we've only seen, like, one or two.
Who are both Zoan dudes. 100%.
We've seen, like, 5 or 6 people of hers, but only one or two of them are Zoan.
I don't know, I remember the turtle guy and the lion guy.
There's also the girl with 3 eyes,
You know, like that animal that has...
There's this one guy who has he was like wearing a mask. I don't remember
say
their names.
Plot twist, it's Shanks.
Oh man.
That'd be cool, but I don't think that's going to be the case.
I mean,
it's fair to say that we're guessing that this is going to be the Yonko laws after, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's going to the SAD, and I'm just going to go out there and say right now that SAD is going to be able to get rid of smiles.
Yes, that makes total sense.
It's like a devil fruit antidote for these artificial ones. Yeah, that makes sense, because when you're sad, you don't smile.
And then what was the other? Oh yeah, and then actually this smile thing was foreshadowed all the way back in Shibati Archipelago when he was on the phone with the one guy in the slave trade thing, and he was asking Doflamingo for help, and Doflamingo says something along the lines of like, slaves are in the past, the future is all smiles.
Hmm.
He actually
it.
Specifically says that.
He says,
so Doflamingo's whole thing here is just to make money, right?
I think he kind of wants to rule the world.
But via money? Because it doesn't seem like making armies for other people is wise.
Well, if he has the SAD.
He has SAD,
yeah.
So he can
True.
Neutralize
so,
them.
Yeah, Big Mom wouldn't dare, you know, rise up against him.
So Caesar Crown continues monologuing and starts going crazy. It says that Luffy can't do anything, because if he tries to take out Caesar Crown, he'll make an enemy of Doflamingo and the
and
world
Bianco
government.
And
Bianco. Yeah. And Luffy just sort of...
Cut to...
punches
to
him in the face.
Punching him in the face. And it is a very satisfying punch.
Fingerprint
the art is
embedded,
great.
Fingerprints embedded into his face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Luffy saying, I've had those guys in my crosshairs from the beginning. Which is true. If he's going to become King of the Pirates, he needs to work his way through them.
So I love this moment because this is the time skip version of setting the world government flag on fire.
Yeah.
Because Luffy is right now basically just saying, bring it.
He's saying, F the Yonko.
I actually said, finally, when I saw that panel.
Yeah.
Yeah. God, I love that last line of, you know, I've had them in my crosshairs from the beginning.
The art on that page is great.
Yeah.
Like, better shading than Oda has done in a long time.
Yeah, I bet I wonder if it was real satisfying drawing Caesar getting punched in the face like that, and he just took his time.
It's like, but, I like, it's like, guys, I'm going to take care of this one. You guys can take care of the other panels in this chapter, but this one, all me.
He's there till like midnight. It's like, Oda, go home. It's like, no, this is something special. I gotta.
So I'm going to bet that Caesar Crown is broadcasting this fight.
You think? Because, I mean, there are all those cameras. They'd presumably be on the one that he was watching Brownbeard with.
And they're in the room that he was watching Brownbeard with. So maybe somebody hits like a broadcast thing and it shows
Luffy
beating down Caesar Crown.
War on all of them.
Yeah.
Man, Caesar is such a wuss. I would love to see him start begging for Doflamingo to come help him and blow his cover.
I bet what happens is Caesar Crown begs for mercy and he'll give up Doflamingo.
Yeah.
If he gets it. And Luffy just keeps punching him. So,
I mean,
but Doflamingo himself
he's supposed
sees
to
that.
Well, the plan is that he's supposed to kidnap Caesar, so.
We used to save Caesar.
Yeah. Well, because, Doflamingo's sending assassins to kill Caesar right now. So
Are they assassins? I thought he was just trying to get Caesar because he's the only
there.
One
yeah,
that
I
actually
I thought that he
save
was
him.
Sending people to help him against the Straw Hats.
Oh, I thought he had,
That's
no,
I
use,
thought it too.
I thought he had no use for Caesar anymore because he's evil.
No, because he told Monet to make sure Caesar was okay.
Okay. I thought there was somebody that he just like basically said it's okay if they die. Was that Virgo?
I think it was Virgo.
All right. I remember just thinking that Doflamingo was cold.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's his whole thing.
Yeah.
But
Doflamingo makes a very good villain. He has been built up to a satisfactory amount.
In this last panel, I have been... Like, I've gone from 0 to 60 in terms of being jazzed for this Doflamingo thing.
Yeah. Yeah, he's this arch crocodile, I think. I think they're going to be going right after him and Big Mom. Or whoever the Yonko is.
I'm betting what's going to happen is Luffy defeats both of them, but Doflamingo gets the credit for defeating Big Mom.
Because,
I mean, defeating an emperor, that's going to rocket him up way higher than...
I think that what's going to happen is that he and Law are going to defeat the two of them, and then Law's going to turn and go, okay, so now which one of us takes over? And Luffy's like, go right ahead.
Yeah, I have sense. I have no interest in that.
Yeah.
Because remember, doesn't... Yeah, Luffy wants territory now, right? That's all he wants? Like, and to
well no he claimed Fishman Island as the territory, but he just wants to get to Raftel at this point,
right?
Okay. He claimed Fishman Island as his territory so nobody would mess with it.
Yeah,
so
I don't think he cares that much about this place.
Yeah, he has no reason to want to do that kind of stuff anyway.
Yeah, hell's a jazzed
punched in the face.
He one punch manned Caesar Crown.
Yeah, Bleach aside, this was a good week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything I really disliked besides Bleach.
I didn't even dislike Bleach that much, so it was a great week for me.
Yeah, any predictions beyond that for One Piece?
I think we'll stick with Caesar Crown a little bit through next week, but then I think we're going to go back to the Virgo fight.
I'm going to stick with my idea that Crown's going to end up blowing Doflamingo's cover. Because the rest of the world knows him as Joker, right? That's his cover name, so that he can still be a Shichibukai.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I just think Caesar is an incredible wuss and is going to be willing to give anyone up to save his own butt.
I think that is reasonable, yeah.
I think it's going to be broadcast out and like a bunch of people are going to see Luffy beat up Caesar Crown.
Well, okay then.
And none of that conflicts.
Nope.
All right. I guess we're done.
Yeah.
For this ostensibly Thanksgiving podcast.
Yes.
Yeah, it's time to go have Thanksgiving dinner because it is totally Thursday right now.
Clearly.
It's Wednesday. What do you guys...
This has been your Thursday, November 22nd podcast. Guys, thank you for coming.
Yep.
We'll see you all next week.
Have a nice holiday.
So it's got to be Big Mom if there's a lion turtle, because I'm sure there's no lion turtle fruit.
What if, plot twist, it's Blackbeard?
Nah, Blackbeard is stealing other people's fruits and giving them to his own crew, but yeah.
I would love it if it was Shanks and he just turns into, like, a giant dragon.